as clay to the potter, may I be to thee. You may have to break down resistance at times, but Lord, don't stop molding and shaping my life. Shape me, dear Father, please make me like you. Mold me completely so I can be true. And if you have to break me, may I understand you're still loving and holding my life in your hands. It would be such disservice, results would be nil, if clay rejects potter and it seeks its own will. It could only be cast out to the old potter's field. Please don't cast me out, Master. Put me back on your wheel. Shame me, please make me like you. Hold me completely.
Go with me to your book, to your, in your Bible tonight, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2 and verse 2. I want to preach tonight on the Holy Ghost ministry of other tongues. The Holy Ghost ministry of other tongues. And I wanted to take a look at how this early church was so dependent upon the visitation and ministry of the Holy Ghost. That there was nothing. You study the book of Acts, you study the epistles, and I'm here to tell you, there was nothing of significance wrought in that early church but by the Holy Ghost. It was a Holy Ghost filled church. It was a Holy Ghost saturated church. I've got quotes that go all the way up to the 4th century, as church leaders would talk about the visitation of the Holy Ghost. And by the 3rd and the 4th century, they were weeping because this had ended, and they talked about how glorious it was when the Spirit of God was moving among the church. Now, I am so hungry for such a move of the Holy Ghost that every service in this church gets interrupted by the Spirit of God working and doing His work among us. I want Him to move. Now, I don't believe there's anything about the Holy Ghost that's disorderly. I don't believe there's anything about the Holy Ghost that's embarrassing, that's cheap, that's less than wonderfully, beautifully wrought. I just believe the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. And everything He does will be done in great heavenly style. And I hunger for that. And I'm going to stay on my face. And that's why I'm calling you to prayer this week in your home. Every night, 9 to 10, your family, in the Bible, you and your wife or husband, if it's just two, one, if you're by yourself, praying, seeking God, believing Him. Now, 1 Corinthians 2 and 2, for I determined, now listen, very important, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The centrality of that church was Jesus Christ. He was Lord. He was Master. They preached His gospel. They talked His great truths continuously. Then verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That's Apostle Paul talking. That's the great man, Apostle Paul, talking of his weakness, his fear, and his trembling. I'm so glad he said those things, because I feel those things at times. I really do. I wrestled under weakness and a sense of it this morning, and I couldn't really understand it. I even asked the Lord to forgive me for it. And yet, here I see it, the life of Apostle Paul. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, listen, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Don't you tell me that early church wasn't full of the Holy Ghost. And don't you tell me anything less than a Holy Ghost-filled church is the will of God. Don't let nobody make you think that anything but a Pentecostal church is where you got to be and where you ought to be and where God is. I believe in this Pentecostal blessing, folks. I believe in this Pentecostal power, church. I believe in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, church. I've got to have it in a greater degree than ever. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Spirit and power? There's a capital S now. Spirit and power? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Father, help your servant to preach effectively tonight. And may there come a hunger upon this congregation for the great demonstration of the true and wonderful Holy Ghost. That we learn tonight afresh that the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost is the sum total of the power for which you've ordained that your church be wrapped in, saturated with, and overwhelmed by. Help us to get that, Father, that those 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost are the 9 expressions of your supernatural power that you ordained to be the master in the house of God, that you ordained to be the rule and reign in the house of God, that anything less than the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost operating in your church makes the church less than what you ordained and what you planned. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. And you may be seated. Now, I preach tonight about what is the model for the church. What is the model for the church? What did God ordain for his church? What is the model of his church? What represents the true, living, powerful church in any generation, going back to the days of Pentecost all the way to 2014? And I can tell you the book of Acts, the book of 1 Corinthians, the book of Ephesians, the book of the different epistles of the New Testament is God's will, God's ordained style, God's ordained model is what God has planned for his church. Now, going back just a little bit to the book of Mark, let me read you what Jesus said. Pretty plain if you will listen to it carefully. This is in Mark chapter 16 and verses 17 and 18. And these signs, this is Mark 16, 17, 18. And these signs, this is Jesus talking, shall follow them that believe. Who does it follow? Them that believe. Who does it follow? Them that believe. What do they believe? They believe the gospel. They believe the Bible. They believe in Christ. They're saved. They're born again. That's what he's talking about. When he talks here about believing, he's talking about becoming a Christian, becoming a born again believer, becoming a saint of God, becoming a part of the church. And he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name shall they cast out devils. If you're full of Christ, you're full of the Holy Ghost, you speak to a devil that is in somebody's life, that devil has no choice but to go. If the circumstances are biblical, if the situation is biblical, if you're being led by the Spirit, if the person is willing. Sometimes there are people who want you to cast the devil out, but they want to keep on living like they've always lived. I'll never forget a young man came to me from the university here in Charlotte. Someone had recommended that he come and see me because he was having strange experiences. He'd be going down the highway and look in the rearview mirror, and an ugly demonic face would appear in his back seat. He'd be in the restroom shaving, and an ugly demonic face would appear behind him and scare the socks off of him. I mean, he was really frightened beyond measure. And he told me all of this, and it was real. I could tell it was real. Well, we got down till he finished the story, and I said, well, I'm ready to tell that devil he no longer is welcome in your house. So let's first help you make a surrender of your life to Christ. You need to repent of your sins. You need to be willing to turn from Christ, turn from the world to Christ, and then we'll cast the devil out. Oh, he said, I'm not ready for that. I said, you're not ready to live a Christian life? He said, no, I'm not prepared for that yet. I said, sir, I'm sorry, but I do not cast devils out of people who are not willing to live for Christ. I'm not about to deal with the devil in you when you want him only gone because you don't want to deal with him, but you want to do your own thing. That's how he came to start with. Is by you living your own life. You live in a sinful life. You're doing the things of the world. You're living by the worldly style. That's why you have a devil possessing you. And unless you're willing to change that lifestyle, I'm not going to deal with your devils. And sorry, friend. Sorry. He left the office so sad and so overwhelmed by what he was facing, but totally unwilling to turn from the life of sin and wickedness to Jesus Christ. And I've thought of that, about that so many times through the years, of how the devil captures people and they become so possessed. But he said, we shall cast out devils. We shall cast out devils. And then he said, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall speak with new tongues. Now he isn't talking about a clean tongue versus an old dirty tongue. He's talking about tongues that you don't know, tongues that you've never learned. He's talking about the gifts of the Holy Ghost that gives you that spiritual anointing to talk to God in the language of the Holy Ghost, to live in the power of the Holy Ghost, to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus said it, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now I want every one of you to get so close to God and so full of the Holy Ghost. Brother Dylan over at the college this last year, wherever you labor, wherever you work, your community where you live, your neighbors, your family members, I want you to become so anointed that when they call you and say, I'm sick, I'm ready to pray for you and God will heal you. Brother Smith called me a few days ago and said, Brother Chambers, I got to have some help. I am desperately sick. I said, Brother Smith, I believe God will heal you. He says, I know he will. And I called to get you to pray for me. We prayed and God healed him. And the next day he called and he was healed in the power of the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you, some church, he's the healer. I said, he's the healer. He's the healer. He's the miracle worker. Hallelujah. And you are his instrument. And you must be full of his power. Now, if this is so true, as you see in these great verses, then when we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll go there for a moment. I want you to know that God's anointing is for you. God's anointing is his plan for his church. His church is nothing but a club until the Holy Ghost comes. Did you hear me? His church is nothing but a club until it's anointed by the Holy Ghost. His church is nothing but an organization of people until it's anointed by the Holy Ghost. We've got to have that anointed. It's not enough just for the pastor to be anointed with the Holy Ghost. I know I'm anointed with the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to tell you it's deep enough and more powerful enough, but I'm going to tell you we live in a day when there is a great effort, a great push against the Holy Spirit. The devil is on a bend to stop everything that has to do with the mighty work of the Holy Ghost. You see, the devil knows that when the rapture takes place, the only thing that can get you out of here is the power of the Holy Ghost. The only thing that can resurrect a man out of the graveyard is the power of the Holy Ghost. The only thing that can pick you up as a believer and transport you through the atmosphere to the glorious power and realm of God is the power of the Holy Ghost. And the devil hates it. The devil hates it, and he will do everything in his power to stop it. But he can't stop it unless we let him. I said, unless we let him. Oh, hallelujah. So God wants to pour out his Holy Ghost upon his church. Now, go into 1 Corinthians 12, and he makes it plain. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, I have preached that verse and read it, but I don't never remember breaking it down a little bit so that you really get the totality of it. And I want you to do that tonight. I want you to look at that verse real carefully. But the manifestation of the Spirit. Now you know what he's talking about, don't you? He's talking about the moving of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about the work of the Holy Ghost upon you. The manifestation. The acts of the Holy Ghost in your life, upon your physical body, upon your spiritual being. He said the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, of the Spirit, means same, Holy Ghost, is given to every man or woman or boy or girl or young man or young woman. It's given to every one of us to what? Profit with all. Oh, there's something profiting about the moving of the Holy Ghost. Until you receive that and learn that, you'll never know what power is. Are you hungry for that? Are you hungry for the manifestation of the Holy Ghost upon you? Raise your hand up high. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I want the mighty moving of the Holy Ghost upon me. I want God. Are you welcoming him? Are you making him welcome? Are you surrendering everything you are? Are you getting sanctified and get everything of this world out of your life? Until you dress like a godly person, you act like a godly person, you talk like a godly person, you go only to godly places. I'm here to tell you, God wants to pour his Holy Ghost on you to profit with all. Raise the Ecclesia Maria. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm believing it tonight. Hallelujah. I'm waiting on the mighty Holy Ghost to come with power upon this place. I'm waiting for the glory of God to come like rain. Hallelujah. On a dry day and pouring great blessings upon the people of God until the city trembles and shakes with the power of the Spirit of God. You collect Christ, some other higher. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Get everything out of your life that's not pure and holy. Make sure your life is godly before him. Get your music right. Get your dress right. Get your conversation right. Get your lifestyle right. Get the world out of your life. Get the world out of your life. Fall in love with him. Seek him daily. Hunger and thirst. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So here it is, absolute promise. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. You know, people all the time call me, and they want to argue about the work of the Holy Ghost. And there's something just in our world today that resists the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. They really do. And boy, when it comes to speaking in tongues, I don't want to be part of the tongue-talking crowd. I want to tell you something. That's not no good way to say tongue-talking crowd. We're not just a bunch of tongue-talkers. We're Holy Ghost people. And if there's any movement of the Holy Ghost, it's real, it's genuine, and it's the Spirit of God doing things in us for his honor and for his glory to make us powerful in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Oh, he goes on to say, for to one is given by the Spirit, and he names 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm convinced that those 9 gifts are the model for Holy Ghost power. Without those 9 gifts, the church is just a club. Oh, the gift of wisdom. Oh, yes, the gift of knowledge. Oh, yes, the discerning of spirits. Absolutely. The gift of prophecy. Absolutely. The gift of the gifts of healing. Yes, yes. The gifts of the working of miracles. Absolutely. The gift of faith. Absolutely. The gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Absolutely. That's the 9. And they are God's manifestation. And every one of us are to be under this manifestation, under this anointing, under this power. It is to be flowing through our lives. Whoa, what would happen if every one of our homes became so full of the Holy Ghost that the children couldn't come home without feeling God walking through the house, moving among the saints? Daddy goes to pray at the supper table, the Holy Ghost falls on him, and he prays in the Holy Ghost. Mama's in there washing dishes or putting them in the washing machine, the dishwasher, and she begins to pray, and the Holy Ghost falls upon her, and she begins to magnify God, and the Spirit of God moves upon her, and she shouts through the house, dancing before the Lord in the power of the Holy Ghost. The man of God gets in the pulpit, and he's so anointed with prophecy and the Spirit of anointing on the Word of God that it stirs our hearts to the core. Oh, come on, church. This is the need of the hour. The gifts of the Holy Ghost. And they are given to us, every one of us, to profit withal. You are to be used of the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost isn't using you, you got to hear me now. I'm being careful. If the Holy Ghost isn't using you, you're not where you ought to be. If the Holy Ghost isn't moving upon you, you're not where you ought to be. You're not where you ought to be. I don't mean you're not a wonderful person. It don't mean you're not precious. It don't mean we don't love you to death. It don't mean none of that. It just means God is calling you for the depth and a moving of the Holy Ghost that just saturates you, that overwhelms you, that you become a vessel full of God and full of the Holy Ghost, and you begin to stir your church and bless everybody around you. Hallelujah. I think you ought to raise your hand and say, God, I'm ready. Get me ready. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Pour the Holy Ghost out upon me. Pour the Holy Ghost out upon me. Yield yourself to the Spirit of the living God and let him take you and make you a blessing. Oh, how he wants to make you a blessing. How he wants to use you for his honor and for his glory. Breathe upon the Cleese of Arabia. Hallelujah. Everybody standing and loving on him a little bit. Lord, we're yielding ourselves to you tonight. All we want is that the mighty Holy Ghost would work in this place. We don't want it for selfish reasons. We're not looking for some picnic of our own pleasure. We're waiting on a move that brings sinners to Christ, that brings healing to the sick, that brings miracles to those so desperately in need, that breaks the powers of demons that possess young people in our schools and colleges and on our streets, Father. We want to see your power. We want to see your glory, Lord. How many want to see that glory? Hallelujah. Praise him with all your heart. Lord, I'm hungry for it. Lord, I'm a hungry soul. I just love him a minute. Father, we're waiting upon you. Visit this place. Visit this place. Hallelujah. 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 All right. You may be seated. Go to the book of Romans chapter 8. I want to talk about one of the greatest powers that prepares us for the Holy Ghost to do something in us. You listen to me now. If you want the Holy Ghost to do something in you, let me tell you where it always begins. Are you listening? Where does the mighty move of the Holy Ghost upon me begin? It begins in prayer. It begins in fasting and praying. It begins when you begin to get before God and stay there a while When you make praying more serious than 2 minutes and 5 minutes and 10 minutes. When you make praying a lifestyle. When you begin to long to get before God and just stay there, lay there, kneel there. However you pray until God's Holy Ghost comes down upon you. Hallelujah. And that's where it begins. And that's why there's so much emphasis in the Bible, the New Testament, in praying in the Holy Ghost. Much emphasis on praying in the Holy Ghost. Because that's where it begins. That's where it begins. The disciples, when they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what's the first thing they did? They go out and start casting out devils? They go out and start healing the sick? Did they go out and start having miracles? No. They started all speaking in tongues as the Holy Ghost came upon them. The mighty move of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Nothing happened that day, but a whole crowd, 120, got full of the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues. Peter preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and 3,000 got saved. Hallelujah. The first thing, praying and magnifying God in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You see, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you aren't just talking to God in the Holy Ghost. You're magnifying God. You're praising God. You're bringing great honor to God. You move beyond your old self and all your weaknesses and all your frailties. And God's got a hold of you. And now you're praying in the Holy Ghost. That early church was given to this. Paul said, I pray in the Spirit and I pray with the understanding. I sing with the Spirit and I sing with the understanding. He said, forbid not to speak with tongues. Then he said, I speak in tongues more than ye all. Have you ever tried to figure out why Apostle Paul is the leading figure of the New Testament church? Have you ever tried to figure out why he wrote more epistles than all the rest together? Have you ever tried to figure out why the doctrines of the New Testament flowed out of Apostle Paul like a river? Have you ever tried to figure that out? I'll tell you why it was. Because the Holy Ghost had a man that he flowed through him like a river. Hallelujah. And he was constantly somewhere in the Holy Ghost praying and singing and magnifying God. And then he'd come out of those prayer times and he was a veritable giant. In the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He was a veritable giant because of those great times of praying. Now, I tonight believe the Holy Ghost is saying to me and through me to you that the greatest need of the hour, if you want to see this great visitation of the Holy Ghost, if you believe everything I've already said, you want to see devils cast out and the sick healed, you've got to learn to pray till the Holy Ghost comes upon you and your praying becomes powerful and anointed and Holy Ghost filled and mighty in the Spirit, and then things will begin to happen in your life that's never happened before. I committed myself some months ago to spend much time allowing the Holy Ghost to pray in me. Could I tell you that I've never gone through a struggle and a battle like I have gone through to become more mightily given to Holy Ghost anointed praying? The devil has done everything in his power to stop it, to stop me, to stop my effort, because he knows the end result of a man full of the Holy Ghost and praying in the Holy Ghost, and the end result is anointing and power and miracles and the casting out of demons and the deliverance of the sick and the infirm. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe it with all my heart tonight. God is looking for the people who will give themselves to praying in the Spirit. I'm not going to spend long here. I'm going to invite you to this altar to pray. But I want to tell you something, church. God wants to do something. And there's not many places that he's making very much headway. And I'm longing for us to be a place. God's helping us, thank God, for new people that are so much in love with God, they come to church on Sunday night. Man, that's a lot of love in this day. I'm here to tell you, but we've got some good ones. Thank God for new ones coming to church every Sunday night, Wednesday. I mean, I just believe you're good and saved. You don't want to miss the house of God. Why would anybody want to miss the house of God that's saved? Makes no sense to me. But let's go to the book of Romans chapter 8. And let me show you a little bit here about this mighty work of the Holy Ghost. in the spirit. Listen, Romans 8, verse 25. But if we hope for that we have not, then do we with patience wait for it. Oh, that's a good place to start. Do you hope for what I'm preaching tonight? Do you hope for what I'm preaching tonight? Hope means expectation. It means you're expecting it. You're already shouting about it. You already know it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Do you have that kind of expectancy of what God wants to do? Do you have it? That's what it starts. Hallelujah. Get hungry. Get so hungry for God that nothing else matters. Hungry for God. Hungry for God. The next verse, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. That word infirmities, he's not talking about sick with the, you know, palsy or with some dreaded disease. He's talking about human weaknesses. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our weaknesses. The battle we are having. I'm talking about just in the flesh, in the spiritual realm, day by day, battling, trying to rise up with a new height and a new commitment and a new surrender. And only the Spirit can help you gain this ground. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. How many will admit tonight that you are so frail that you desperately need a mighty moving of the Holy Ghost in your life? Will you slip your hand up? You're so frail that you need a mighty moving of the Holy Ghost in your life. He's been telling us. He's been talking to us. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. You got to admit you have them. You got to admit you need it. You got to admit that you're desperate for it. You got children that's going to go to hell if you don't get a hold of God for them. You got children that's going to go deeper and deeper in sin, become more and more entangled and tied up and bound by the darkness of the prince of darkness. And you got to have power. If you break through for those sons of yours, mother. If you break through for those kids of yours, mother. If you break through for your wife, brother. If you break through for grandchildren, mother. I mean, whatever. If you break through, you got to understand you are infirm and you can't do it. But he helpeth our infirmities. He helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We know not what we should pray for. How many times do we get on our knees and struggle trying to come up with the right words to make our petition known to God? I know I do. I'm sure you do. Praying for a child that's away, a grandchild that's away, and you're hungering and thirsting. There's so many needs in this city. There's so many needs connected with this church. There's so many needs connected with Brother Williams and his family, Brother Marlon and his family, every one of us, so many. They're just insurmountable. They are beyond our capacity, and that's why we need this anointing of the Holy Ghost. Helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, I'm convinced that there's so little praying in the Holy Ghost today, and that the very weakness of the church world is right there. That's where the weakness is. That's where the helplessness is. That's where the old devil is defeating almost everything the church world is trying to do. And most churches, even the growing churches, are nothing but a sociological center where they meet the worldly longings of people, and they come to get religion where they can live like they please. I'm telling you, that's not going to take anybody to heaven. You got to hear me. That's not going to break the powers of sin and cast out demons and drive the spirits away from people possessed by them, and bring young people out of drugs and out of the rock and roll culture and bring them into the house of God. Oh, I'm telling you something, church. We have infirmities that are insurmountable except by the Holy Ghost. Except by the Holy Ghost. I hope you're getting this. I really do. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'll never forget, old brother R.P. Johnson stood in a camp meeting and preached a great sermon. And the Holy Ghost moved upon him. And he said, as the Holy Ghost gave him a message of tongues and interpretation, he said, God speaking, if you'll make all you are available to me, I'll make all I am available to you. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Ghost talking now. If you make all you are available to God, God will make all he is available to you. Can you imagine what could come upon some of you sitting in this building tonight? Can you imagine what would happen between now and next Sunday, or maybe Sunday 2 weeks or Sunday 3 weeks, if you would become so given and so on your face, instead of spending your time in some idle thing that don't mean a thing in the world, doesn't do one thing for your spirit. Start spending an hour a day on your face praying until the Holy Ghost prays. And when he starts, don't stop him. And just seek the face of God. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, he maketh intercession for us with groanings which you cannot utter. It's impossible to pray in the way the Holy Ghost can pray through you. It's impossible to pray with the power that the Holy Ghost can pray and manifest in you. It's impossible. It's impossible. Listen. Listen. Boy, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know what? God knows exactly what's his will concerning Joe Chambers, my family, my life, my grands. God knows exactly. And I've got to be on my face. I'm here to tell you. I'm telling you, I'm just plain too busy with things that have nothing to do with prayer. I'm just too busy with things that just consume my week until I'm exhausted. I'm just praying, God, somehow help me, God, to have more time to get on my face and stay there with you. Help me, God, because the desperate need of the hour is men and women praying until the Holy Ghost pours upon them a mighty spirit of intercession. Hallelujah. 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 But he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now there's so many scriptures, wonderful scriptures, talking about this ministry of Holy Ghost praying. Holy Ghost praying. Now, I'm not telling you the only time the Holy Ghost prays is when you're praying in another language. The Holy Ghost can anoint you to pray in your own language. And you need both. Paul said, I pray with the Spirit, and I pray in the Spirit, and I pray with the understanding. He was trying to say, I pray by the power of God with all the burdens of my heart in my understanding. But then he said, the Holy Ghost prays through me. Hallelujah. And he says, apparently, he prayed more like that than anybody else, because he said, I speak in tongues more than ye all. And he didn't believe in wasting energy. Speaking in tongues wasn't just a bunch of exercise in incoherent syllables and incoherent sounds. I'm going to tell you right now, the Holy Ghost does not do things that have no meaning. I don't believe in just a bunch of yabba jabba. I don't believe in just a bunch of noise. I don't believe in just a bunch of saying I'm talking in tongues when all you do is repeating a bunch of incoherent syllables. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost praying in you until you pray in the. Would you stand with me while I finish this sermon? Until you pray in the power of the Spirit of God, and God's anointing comes upon you. Oh, sick labor, I'm a boy. Hallelujah, 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 church. Never has the need been greater. I'm telling you, never has the need been greater. You say, I want to go back and have some of them days like Pentecost used to have. This is where it starts with what I'm preaching tonight. Is this right, Brother Marlon? Brother Ken? Sister Chambers? Is this right? Is this right, Brother Dylan? Is this right, Brother Steve? Is this right up there, Brother Allen? This is where it starts. It starts in the mighty work of the Holy Ghost. We don't emphasize the gift of tongues above the other gifts. We just put it in its place. And its place is the power of mighty praying. And then at times communicating to the church by tongues and interpretation of tongues. But that early church, brother, they believed in the praying of the power of the Spirit. I love to read the stories. I'm reading right now. I got a little booklet the other day about one of the old timers in the Church of God. And I read, I guess, close to half of it, and I was amazed. He was really one more giant of a man, so full of the Holy Ghost. He turned things upside down. He was a devil until he got saved. But when he got sanctified, that was the first thing that happened. He got sanctified. It was enjoyable to read how he'd been part of the church locally at that time for a long time, and they'd tell him he had to sin more or less every day, and they everything he did, they gave him license, and he got sanctified and quit doing any of it, and they turned him out of the church for teaching false doctrine, because he started teaching sanctification and holiness. That's amazing, isn't it? That's what we need today. We need some real difference between religion and old-fashioned, godly, sanctified living, full of the Holy Ghost and fire and power and glory. I've got to have it. Now, let me see. When I said I got to have it, I meant it. How many of you can say, I got to have it? And you'll make up your mind. I got to have it. I got to be full of God's Holy Ghost. I got to be so full of God's Holy Ghost that He makes me a giant of faith. A giant of faith. Now I want you to leave your pew and come here and let's pray together. Let's stand before God together tonight. And I want everybody here praying. I want you to come with a hunger. Are you really? Do you mean it? I got to have it. I want you to pray. I preach with all I got. Now it's time for you to do some praying, church. I want us to learn how to fill this altar with praying and to pray. I want you to become so full of the Holy Ghost that you can pray with others who need to pray. Hallelujah. And God, can you begin to move in this church? Will you cry out to God with me? Hallelujah. Let's seek Him with all our heart. Would you? Father, I love you tonight. Lead in prayer, church.